to the fourth episode of Two Jews and a Gay. I am your host, Brian Martinson, along with Jeremy Katz.
Hey, hey.
And Spencer Yasmin.
Ha, ha, ha.
It has been an exciting week two action in the NFL. I want to get Jeremy and Spencer's thoughts on any games that particularly stand out, any ref decisions that particularly stand out, just the state of the NFL in general. What do you think, boys?
Well, for me, Brian, what stands out is not a game or the refs who've been criticized harshly these last couple days, but it is a division, and specifically the NFC West, who has been the laughingstock for, I think, the last 5-6 years. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers look like they are Super Bowl bound, and then you got the Arizona Cardinals beating the Patriots at home. You got the Seattle Seahawks beating the Dallas Cowboys, and then you got the St. Louis Rams, who, yes, they lost week one against a good Detroit Lions team. They then come back and beat RG3's Redskins. So for me, Spencer, I think the NFC West looks good.
It's all about the Cardinals. You listening up, Warshaw? You listening up? I mean, that was fantastic. I texted my brother when I was, you know, the game wasn't on TV, but I was following it online, and they said that the Cardinals are, you know, they're trying to run down the clock. Oh, now New England scores, but they fail in the 2-point conversion. Arizona's trying to run out the clock again, and then 3rd and 15, Ryan Williams fumbles, and they recover at the 20-yard line. I texted my brother. I'm like, can New England ever not get so lucky? And I was just furious. And then little did I know that the kicker would miss the kick. So it was great. I had a good feeling about the Cardinals. I didn't think they'd win, but I definitely thought they'd cover that ridiculous spread. And I'm in an eliminator pool with a group of about 80 people. And half the people picked New England. So it's me and about 25 or so people left, because a lot of people picked New Orleans first week. So very exciting. Root Spencer Yasmin on. Keep it going.
And your Jets, Spencer, how did they do?
They played?
They didn't play.
Yeah, there are no
I only watch when Tebow gets 20 carries a game. So I chose not to watch.
So you want him to get more carries?
No, not even that. I don't know what's wrong with that team. They're horrendous. But I think it's one of those giveaway games. They knew they were going to struggle, so they just said, we're not going to show anything. We're going to save it for the Dolphins. We're going to pound them up the ass. So I appreciate that. Thanks, Ryan.
Well, hard to move on from that little mental image, but let's try and head over to Spencer's. Let's head over to Spencer's Dirty Talk. Spencer?
All right. Well, it's that time of the week, folks. The most
I want to say, we've gotten a lot of very positive feedback from the listeners, or the listener, about Dirty Talk. So I think this is a segment that really resonates with people.
Nailed it.
I can't wait to hear what Spencer's overheard this week.
Well, I heard a couple things. I had some comments that were asked directly to me. So let's start it off with Nick West, who will be our guest later on the show. Nick asked me on GChat early last week, for a bid, is $5 okay, or is there usually a set amount? You know, give the kid a break. It's his first go-around, but, you know, it's nice to see that he's inquiring. I think what this shows to me is that the guy wants to learn, unlike some of the other people in this league that think they know about football, but really they have no clue about football, and they just rather continue to go in a downward spiral. So I appreciate the commitment there, Nick, to ask.
Definitely. And I really like Nick's pickup so far. I mean, the guy, Dennis Pitta from the Baltimore tight end, who's been getting at least, 6 to 8 looks or catches a game.
I believe they're called targets.
Targets, but then they were receptions.
Well, I'm going to later on in the podcast, I'm going to have a comment or two to make about Nick's team and other members of the league and how they're managing their staff. But I'm not going to interrupt Dirty Talk for that right now. Spencer, continue.
Okay. If you guys recall, Kat sent out an email giving out his kind of rankings of everybody earlier in the week, and Nick responded to me, another GChat message from Nick saying, I'm liking all this love. You know, the guy's very, you know, when he gets people praising him, he really likes to show it. Not like Pinocchio, but, you know, it's a different type of praise. You know, I don't know what's going on in the pants, but he's happy. He's very happy.
Oh, and it's great. And suddenly when you talk to Nick, he knows everything about football. You know, he says, oh, I knew this player would do amazing. Right. I love this matchup. I hate this matchup.
I would hesitate,
Nick's
a genius. There was a guy in the league by the name of Dan Rosenbaum that kind of thinks that way too. You know, when things are going well, he wants everybody to know that he was ahead of it. So, and we've seen how he's faded down the past in previous years. Okay, so Keith, following along with that email that Kat sent out where Nick was very excited about how well he did, Keith followed it up with an email out to the league saying, congrats on the jinx, Maciag. So a very, very bitter Keith, because if, Jeremy, you want to take it away for what happened last year, why he made that comment?
Yeah, so I do my weekly rankings, and I think every single week there was a new number one, because anytime I ranked a team number one, they would then lose that week's matchup and then obviously move down the rankings.
But even more important than that, I think Keith may be referencing the fact that
he did,
last season you ranked Keith's draft as the best draft of the entire league, and it just completely went to shit on him.
I gave my preseason rankings. Keith got Chris Johnson and Roddy White in the first two picks, and I just loved his team. I thought Chris Johnson was a steal.
Steal, baby.
And I was saying that Keith had the best team. He was smiling. I was smiling. And then Keith proceeded to lose seven or eight games in a row, and my credibility went down the drain.
And Keith followed that expertise up by drafting Chris Johnson again. But we move on. We move on, shall we? This next one is a quick conversation between the roommates, Kat and Derek Green.
Hey.
Jeremy asked Derek, feeling good about your fantasy team? And Derek responded, is this a quote for the show? So, Derek, we give it up to you. You're catching on. You're catching on.
He got me.
The next one is from our good sound guy, B-Mart. Brian doesn't even know about this
one.
So we tried doing the interview and I guess part of the podcast a couple of days ago, and for you guys at home, what you want to know about this is we tried doing this 2 weeks ago where Brian came over to Jeremy's place and he tried doing it in the same room, but we found out that the internet's just too slow at Jeremy's place to have two people on it at the same time. So what does he do this week? He decides to go back there again and do it again. And of course, again, it doesn't work. So anyway, Jeremy and I are waiting for him to set up. Brian decides he'll go in the kitchen this time to do it. And we're just waiting around, and there's all this silence, but we can hear the recording going, and we hear Brian go, what Romney did is inexcusable. He should have waited to get all the facts before releasing a statement. And then I hear Mikey and Derek go, yeah! And this is in regards Brian, you know what it was regards to. Take it away.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were getting political here.
Are you going to endorse a candidate on the podcast?
Of course we're going to endorse a candidate on the especially given what's happened in the week after I made that comment last week, I can't believe anybody would seriously vote for Romney. The comment I specifically made was in regards to his horribly outrageous and inappropriate and unpresidential comment about the tweet that somebody from the Egyptian embassy set out about the anti-Muslim movie that was being released on YouTube. This was a horribly badly made movie. It looks awful. It looks like worse than amateur porn. And it caused some riots in both Cairo and also in Libya, which unfortunately resulted in the death of four Americans in Libya. Horrible, horrible situation. And of course, Romney, lead-footed as always, could never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity, and decided it, the day of 9/11 was the day to politicize this attack on of Americans on foreign soil, and was just totally wrong with the facts. He was lying. He had to go back on the next day and basically say, you know, he didn't know exactly what was going on, which is not exactly
Brian,
what you want.
If I made it up real fast, what he did was terrible. But what I was asking was, I was basically just saying, you know, we were waiting on the podcast and you kind of just went off topic. That's what I was kind of, you know, upset about. But I am very upset about what Romney said.
Boys, for the record, for the last 2 minutes, I've been holding my laugh in so hard because I really wanted to laugh there and I was literally crying right now in my room. But I felt a little guilty as you're Brian.
Yeah, Brian, it is a very serious topic and I didn't want to interrupt you, but that's what I was
trying to say. But that was amazing.
I was just trying to say we thought it was kind of humorous that, you know, Jeremy and I were waiting for about 15 minutes, and all we hear is this political discussion going on in the other room.
Well, The listeners need to know that
we're very heated.
This
I understand.
Podcast is more,
it's very passionate,
more than
very
just
passionate.
About fantasy football.
Right.
It's about
we're
life.
Right. And we appreciate it.
This is a very serious election. And if the wrong decision is made, I don't know what's going to happen to this country. And it makes me
okay.
very.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Well. Okay.
And let me also say while I'm at it,
he's getting back. He's start this, that engine.
This is the introduction of the weekly rant. I was initially going to do something about fantasy football. Maybe I'll like try to tie this all in together. But how dare Mitt Romney do his fucking 47% calling us victims and leeches who just drag down the like 53%.
All right, Brian. It's very wrong. Brian. Let's stay on target. Let's stay on schedule. We'll save it for a future.
Right, we do have some Romney.
We will have a.
You know,
I promise we'll have a political podcast the week before the election. Okay, that's our promise to you. Okay.
I tell you.
All right. Moving on.
My
so the net. I got three more guys, and then we can go on. Okay.
Three more dirty
three more.
Times.
I did
Jesus.
A lot of research this week.
Hell of a week.
So there's been some rumors floating around, but yeah, it's true. Spencer Yasmin is writing a song for our stud dud segment that will be coming out next week. Working on the song. In the meantime, I'm also working on another song for Todd Yasmin, who's going to be providing us the pickup line of the week. And I wrote a quick song utilizing the Sting's Desert Rose. And I sent the lyrics to Todd, and Todd responded, "I wasn't impressed by the song. I'd rather you just use a Spice Girls song." So this is for you guys that don't know Todd Yasmin, this is what you have to look forward to in the near future. His pickup lines and his taste in music. So
ladies man.
He is a ladies man. What's your favorite pizza topping? Okay. I digress. Anyway, the next one is from good old Yahoo Fantasy Sports. Yahoo does this new recap after the game results, and this is what it provided for the Dan versus Keith matchup. No, would be 2-0 if they played Colson's Dream Team every week. And I believe Dan sent that to Jeremy, right? And you let me know about that one.
He did say that to me, and it's great because it's like, thanks Yahoo for that, you know, stimulating piece of advice
really
right there.
Digging
but,
it into
Keith
one more time.
They really even Yahoo.
Yahoo
is,
knows how to
digging
find
into
Keith. Poke him out. Oh, sorry, Keith. We're sorry. The last one is from Sound Guy one more time. Now, Brian.
Hey.
Brian, we're just gonna say it. You can do your rebuttal, but let's keep it short, okay? So here it is. I guess a discussion came up with Katz, Brian, some other people, and they were talking about the different types of penises, the different type of penis shapes. And Brian responded with, "I love a circumcised penis," and he said it very enthusiastically. I wish I was there to
very
hear it, but Brian, is there anything you want, any rebuttal you want to say to that you love circumcised penis only, and perhaps is that the only kind of penis you'll tolerate?
No, I mean, you know, it's. You know, it's kind of like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's still pretty good. I'll take an uncircumcised one. It's not my favorite. It's kind of like, to do the pizza analogy, it's like someone who puts pineapple on it. Like, sure, I'm not going to love it, but I can pick it off. It's good. I'll still use it. But yeah,
no,
I mean,
ham,
I think
though.
It's just
no ham
it's
on the
cleaner.
Pizza, that's what you're saying.
It's cleaner. It looks prettier. Right. You know it's ready for action. I mean, there's none of that, like, ugh, extra skin.
Right.
Just, no. No. That's why I have a secret thing for Jewish men. Or
love
actually not so secret thing now that I've said it out loud on a podcast.
And the millions of listeners now know. Oh, darn.
Indeed. All right. I know I kind of ranted a little bit.
Apology accepted.
About politics. But now it's time to do my weekly rant on Fantasy Football League. This rant is directed to our very own Derek Green and Nick Masiak. What the fuck are you thinking? This is the second week of the league, and you're already not checking your lineup, not checking injury reports. Ryan Matthews, you play? You basically single-handedly gift wrap a victory for Megan, because you decide or you forget to check a lineup. And granted, in your case, you didn't actually have a running back to put in, but that could have been rectified literally within But at 9:55 Sunday morning, you could have checked to see that Ryan Matthews was in fact not playing, as every website that follows football injuries would report to you, he's not playing. Go pick up somebody, even if it is the backup to a backup to a backup who may get three carries. Three carries is better than no carries. I don't get what you're doing. And then directed more towards Nick, who didn't play his tight end when he actually had a tight end on the bench ready to play. He comes up with some lame excuse about how he has friends in town. Like, I don't care. Takes 5 minutes. Check the damn lineup. Check the injury report. If you have anything other than a P or nothing, like no questionable status for your player, if it's questionable, if it's doubtful, you check your players Saturday night, Sunday morning, making sure that you're ready to go for kickoff, especially if you have a lot of early games. It just boggles my mind. In the second week, we're already talking about people forgetting to check their lineups. Outrageous.
I agree.
Love the rant, Brian. We all great agree. Rant. Well said. Well said.
That's my weekly rant. We're going to take this opportunity to introduce a new segment. Our own Mikey Gilman, who is a member of the league, Vegas extraordinaire. He is going to join us for a few prognostications, a few over-unders on the Vegas line for Sunday's games. Not fantasy-related specifically, but definitely football-related. So without further ado, here's Mikey Gilman.
And welcome to week 3 of the NFL season and week 1 of Mike Gilman's Picks of the Week, new segment in the Boys Will Be Boys League and the Two Jews in a Gay podcast. I'm going to pick 3 games for you that we're going to handicap and pick some winners. So here we go. First game, you think the Jets are going to beat the Miami Dolphins. They're 11-3 in their last 14 against spread against the Dolphins. Let's take the Jets at -2.5. Game 2. Saints have a must-win, 8.5-point favorites against the Chiefs. Only 0-2 team in the NFC. Definitely not going to go 0-2 at home. Let's take the Saints. Third game, upset special of the week. Oakland Raiders against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oakland is 9-3 against the spread as an underdog, and the Steelers are 2-8 against the spread as the road team. Upset, pick in Oakland. Let's see what we do in the first 3 games. See you all next week.
So, Spencer, what do you think of Mikey's picks?
Oh, boy. He's the handicapper for this league? Oh, my goodness.
He is the handicapper. And we'll see. Like, we'll keep a running tally on the blog. See whether Mikey's picks pan out or not. And if he doesn't get results for our listeners, then maybe we'll have to make some changes. And we'll be back after this musical break.
Don't you get fair out of shape, 'cause life's too short of love, for love to wait. And I said, hey, come on, won't you dance? Come on and I shake your tambourine. And I said, girl, come on, won't you dance, come on and bring it on home to me. 'Cause it feels alright, bring it on home tonight.
Welcome back. That was music from our very first guest, Nick West, Surrender to the Night. Nick, welcome.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
So Nick is our very our newest member to the league, and the league is 3 years old, but he was supposed to be a founding member. Someone convinced him to not join 3 years ago. Perhaps, Nick, you would like to tell us a little about that story.
I can tell you exactly about that story. the gentleman that you hear on this podcast, Spencer Yasmin himself, is the reason why I was not.
Whoa, come on.
For several years. I mean, 3 years running and I'm not in it.
I don't have my attorney with me present for this.
Listen, you can speak to this.
Oh, geez. Okay, I'm just going to stop him. I'll say right now, I did not kick him out of the league. Dan, with his
You bite your tongue.
What?
You bite your tongue.
I thought you wanted me to explain.
Okay, go.
Okay. Dan was trying to find people with the seven people he knew. He's like, I got Nick. Let's go. League started. I'm like, whoa. We got to talk to Nick real fast. So I explained to Nick how the fantasy football works. And I said, Nick, are you prepared on a weekly basis to manage your team? And he said, Of course not. Of course not. And so I went back to the league. I said, look, come on, guys. We want to make this a legitimate league. He's not ready yet. He's moving to Australia. The guy's got a lot on his mind. He's not ready for this commitment. This is a big commitment. And so, therefore, he was in the league. But to my defense, I will say I was the one that pushed to get him in the league this year when you guys were trying to get someone.
Shockingly, you were.
I rest my case.
Dan Margolis.
And I thank you.
Dan Margolis was 99% of the way in. And then out of the blue, Spencer Yasmin came in and said, Nick is in. And the people spoke. Keith and Gilbert wanted him in.
I want to say that it was not a universal decision. There were some people who requested that Nick have a little quiz before he was allowed into the league.
That is true.
Which is bullshit.
Spencer, do you want to go over?
It is true.
Spencer, why don't you go over the quiz?
Yeah, so Nick wasn't aware that we were going to go over this today, but we had, because of some of you in the league, you know who you are, you made me present this quiz to Nick, basically just to see what his football knowledge was. And I was impressed with Nick's knowledge, but we thought it'd be fun to share with the league how Nick did on the quiz. So here we go. Here is the quiz that some of you were debating if Nick would pass. Question one to Nick was, name two starting QBs in the AFC and two in the NFC. Nick, do you remember what you put?
No.
I'll tell you. Tom Brady and Mark Sanchez in the AFC, Eli Manning and Drew Brees in the NFC.
That is correct.
Let's give it up.
Yeah, good job, Nick. Right. Hell of a job.
Thank you.
Question number two. Which of these players is not a running back in the NFL? Chris Johnson of the Titans, LeSean McCoy of the Eagles, Chad Henne of the Jaguars, or Darren McFadden of the Raiders? Nick, do you remember what the answer is?
I think I got this one wrong, didn't I?
No, you got this one right.
I can't remember what I said.
Okay, well.
Well, ask him the question. Yeah, who do you think the running back is?
Who do you think it is?
I don't remember what you said.
Okay. Which of these players is not a running back in the NFL? Chris Johnson, LeSean McCoy, Chad Henne, or Darren McFadden? Don't Google it.
Chad Henne, right?
That's correct. Very nice.
Good job. All right, question number
three. He's a big old white boy.
You are correct. Number three. What's that?
No, go on.
Okay. Which of these players is a current tight end in the NFL?
I got this one.
Brent Jones.
I know I did.
Mark Bavaro, Mark Chimurma, or Jimmy Graham?
Jimmy Graham.
That
is
right
correct.
Now. Unfortunately,
yeah,
back then you said
wrong.
Brent Jones.
Oh,
what
he did miss
it. Okay.
Because I misread it. I said, who is not a player in the NFL right now?
Okay.
Or tight end in the NFL.
We'll let it slide, but.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Question four. David Akers plays what position?
Kicker.
Hey.
That is correct. All right, and here's
the
last.
For the San Francisco 49ers.
Very nice.
Very good. That's a bonus right there. And here's the last question, which I can't believe the league made me ask you this, but you passed it. In the league skill positions, running back, or tight end, if that position player gets 6 points per TD, 1 point per 10 yards receiving or rushing, and a half a point per catch. That's how our league is set up. So with that scenario, if a running back has 10 carries for 60 yards rushing, two catches for 30 yards receiving, and one total TD scored, how many points does he get?
Shit, I can't remember what I put down.
You put 16, and 16 was right. So good job.
Yeah,
I don't know why they made me ask you that, but you passed it.
Hey, look, you know, I understand everybody has their concerns about me because I'm, you know, a flake, but I think I'm doing okay. You know, I'm 1-1. It's a lot more than some of these other hacks can say for themselves in this league. So
calling out Sexton?
Yeah, I'm calling out Sexton.
Just checking.
Yes. And congratulations on being 1-1. But I go ahead, Jeremy.
That's all you.
No, I just wanted to congratulate Nick on being 1-1. But I also want to kind of ding Nick. And this may be something that we're going to talk further along in another segment later in the podcast. But why did you not check your lineup and realize that
rookie
Antonio
mistake.
Gates was not
rookie
playing
mistake.
That week?
This was a rookie mistake, and I'll blame it on I have a friend in town from Sydney, Australia right now, and he came in town, and we went out for drinks, and I was just not paying attention to anything that had to do with the NFL this weekend. okay? But at least okay. I didn't pull a Derek Green, all right? I didn't pull a Derek Green and have three players that came up with 0 points.
That is true.
That is true. Nick, you have a very interesting story to make this, you know, a little more charged. You have a little bit of information about what we like to call the extreme BJ. I'm going to counter yes. that with yes. the KJ BJ, but yes. first I want to hear what the extreme BJ is.
Well, the extreme BJ, what it is it starts off as a regular BJ, which is very enjoyable. But sooner or later, your legs are on top of their shoulders, and essentially they try to lift you up like a Rampage style in an MMA UFC fight and slam you back into the bed.
Which I'm sure Rampage has done too.
Yes, he's done many a time. So it was very extreme, very enjoyable.
What kind of women are you dating that they're able to lift you up and slam you back down in the bed?
They didn't lift me, but they lifted my legs very high in the air, which was it was an interesting experience, but I highly recommend
and
it.
What
anyone.
Was your
Brian?
What,
did, Brian, it works for both ways. Okay.
What was your reaction when she put?
But here's a question: Did
I was saying, what was your reaction when she put your legs over her shoulders?
I thought this was going to be a wild ride. I was just holding on. I just gripped the bed sheets and just.
And what's great about that?
Did you?
Real quick, guys. What's great about that is I lived with Nick during the time. And when Nick came out of his room after the extreme blowjob, I actually ran into him, and he looked like he'd just been abused. I mean, he looked like a frightened
yes.
turtle.
I just went through war.
Did not know what had just happened.
It was very disheveled, but it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience.
Nick, I have a follow-up question, pretty serious.
Yes.
Did you cross your legs during it, or as the climax happened?
I was afraid if I crossed my legs, she would choke pretty bad, so I just really didn't feel like doing it.
Did she
that.
Play with the
and,
asshole?
No, she
That's
didn't. I know. Everyone loves a little nice little tickle.
It was taco night, though, to be fair.
Yes, that is fair. Well, we lived above a Chipotle, and I would have had explosive diarrhea.
So, Brian, how would you compare Nick's extreme blowjob to your KJ BJ?
Well, I have to say, first, the extreme BJ does sound really interesting, titillating. I want to try it.
It's very appealing.
It sounds appealing. But I really don't think it holds a candle to the Kim Jackson blowjob. The Kim Jackson blowjob, for those who've never heard of this, this was about 3 years ago. We, Jeremy and I, were at a pool party in Beverly Hills, as you know, people who host podcasts are often one to be at.
Very swank.
Very swank. And we meet this very kind of exotic Australian woman who... Jeremy's brother Eric immediately took a shining to.
Between suites.
This is yes. He was single at the time. Now he's engaged. He and Linda.
Linda, perfect. We love you. This is
Linda. We love you.
Many mazels.
So we start chatting up with her, and Jeremy's cousin Matt, shirtless,
Ooh.
Looks amazing wet. He was also at this party.
Matt, cousin.
Yeah, cousin Matt. So we're talking with her, and the party's winding down, and we have another party to go to, but we're all hungry. So we decided to go to Jerry's Deli to get some food. She gathers around us, which is a horrible choice, but still, it was food. She tells us, she is known as the person who gives the best blowjobs in her group, in her friends.
Tell us
friends,
more.
Which, of course, instantly piques my curiosity because, as a gay man, I certainly want to both give and receive the world's best blowjob. And the straight guys were just tongues wagging because they obviously want to receive the world's best blowjob. She proceeds to tell us what we now refer to as the KJBJ. She puts the guy sitting down, with his back up against, the headboard, or could also be, on a sofa, someplace where his legs, though, can extend. She then gets between his legs and places one knee underneath the scrotum and is pressing up against the taint. And she uses that to kind of grind her kneecap gently, but with a little force, Ooh. Against the taint. And then this does a couple things. First, it applies pressure to that area, which I think we can all agree as men, we love that.
Spencer,
and two,
writing this down.
Two, it frees her hands. It frees her hands for doing the things that one needs hands to do when giving a blowjob. So
dangerous.
I tried this. I've actually tried this on a gentleman that I was dating a while back.
Woo!
He said,
"Testify,
best blowjob he has ever received."
Congratulations!
What can I
say?
Very
nice, Brian.
You know, and that
did
that
he return the favor though?
No, he did not. But he did fuck the hell out of me.
Yeah, very nice.
Hey, there it is.
That's our sound guy.
That's what
iTunes,
we're looking for.
We just got disciplined by iTunes, by the way.
Hey, we're listed as explicit on iTunes. I can drop the
F-bomb.
Good.
No, that's fine.
So, Nick, you and I were in Vegas 2 weekends ago, and
you
expressed a lot of interest in an application that's on my phone called Grindr. And Spencer has never heard of Grindr before, other than when he Googled it, it said it led to a big syphilis outbreak in Dallas. So
I haven't come out of my apartment ever since.
Oh, God.
So, Nick, why don't you explain in your own words to Spencer what you think Grindr is?
I think it is one of the greatest advancements in technology for gay men everywhere. Especially in metropolitan areas where there is a lot of need for gay sex or just, you know, some male companion. Basically,
I will say
Spencer,
there's also need for gay sex in rural areas too.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I'm just saying.
Why don't we have this
lot.
For heteros?
There is another application by the same company, but it's not very successful.
Shocking.
So Spencer, what's
it's shockingly unsuccessful.
That's a shame.
Yeah. So basically, Spencer, what this is, it uses your GPS to see where you are from your smartphone, and we'll basically, what do, Brian? You set up a profile, and then you
set
drop
a profile,
pin, and then you drop a pin wherever you are, and say like, "Hey, I'm looking."
Well, what you'll do is like basically Grindr is
you hunt. For
yes,
you,
it's like MILF Hunter,
right?
If you're if you're looking for that, like not everyone is necessarily looking for, you know, random sex with hot men.
Maybe it's just a little conversation that could lead to a little OTPHJ.
Hey. Exactly. Or a nice coffee or a glass of wine. So it's really multiple.
Red or white?
Depends on my mood. I'm more of a red guy, though, to be honest.
Okay, just checking.
Deep.
Now, Brian, have you ever had a one-night stand off Grindr?
I have. It was actually within the first – it was actually my only one-night stand off of Grindr. I've had that application for about 2 years now. I really use it mainly for kind of chit-chatting with people. Sometimes, I'm telling you, sometimes 1 a.m, you need a new source of jerk-off material. And Grindr is the well that keeps on giving. It never runs dry.
Mm-hmm. But isn't Grindr almost a dangerous tool for you? I mean, because I know single guy – if I had an application where I can find slutty, easy people who I got to pick, you know, which one I wanted, I would be on it every night. Like, how are you resisting the urge right now to get on Grindr and just bone some dude?
And Jeremy's follow-up question is, where can he find that application?
Exactly.
Well, mainly, okay, first of all, anyone who knows me for any length of time knows that I'm an incredible hypochondriac when it comes to the kinds of diseases one gets.
What?
When one sleeps with a lot of random guys. Or girls.
Slut.
So I am very particular with who I will sleep with in general.
Come on.
No, really.
You're on Grindr.
I haven't slept with somebody since – I've not had sex since April. I'm just putting it out there right now.
Jeez. Dry spell. It's not by choice. Come on now.
Listeners, it's not by choice.
No.
What do you mean it's not by choice? It's totally by choice. You guys see – I can put asses in the seats.
Exactly. We're saying that if you wanted to have sex more, you could. But
if you say it's not by choice, that's implying
gentle listeners, as Brian would say, by choice.
Exactly.
But what's great about Grindr,
and you're also pro-choice too, right?
What was that?
You're also pro-choice as well.
I am pro-choice.
Okay. By choice and pro-choice.
But Spencer, what's great about Grindr is that usually, and I could be wrong, but I think like 80%, 85% of people on it are usually shirtless photos or like a close-up of their abs, and they send a cock shot.
Yeah.
Brian's photo is literally – it's a good photo, Brian, but, you know, it's like him over a cup of coffee. You know, he's got a nice button-up shirt. He's smiling. This is a Skype picture. He's got his glasses on. Brian, I'm telling you, you gotta show a little skin. You know, maybe a
I will put the photo on our blog, twojewsandagay.wordpress.com. Go and check it out, people.
Great plug.
So, Spencer, is your curiosity on Grindr satisfied, or do you have more questions?
I think that's it for now. I mean, I wouldn't mind, you know, maybe we can live on the podcast sometime. We can do like a live feed.
A live Grindr feed.
See if we can get someone to like hunt us down. Because it sounds kind of fun to be hunted by another man.
I still think.
Can we call it Manhunt? Like the movie Manhunt? That sounds great.
I still think one of our segments should eventually be Straight Guys on Grindr, where we get a whole bunch of our straight friends, have them create profiles.
We should get someone that they don't know, however, that are on it, you know.
Maybe
Cousin Matt, since he left the league. Just throwing it out
there.
Sorry, Matt, comma cousin.
I'm telling you, though, he looks great wet. I'm telling you. But we are moving on. Nick, you had a burgeoning music career at one point. Is Nick West dead, or will he ever perform again?
I mean, there's a rise coming. But we'll see. Okay, I can't make any promises, and I'm not gonna go any further. Okay, the fire rises, and I'm done with this topic.
Brian and Spencer, you guys, it's a shame you never saw Nick West perform. It was a thing of beauty. I mean,
I do have the CD though. I loved it. I still listen to it every once in a while.
It's on iTunes. Yeah. I'm on Spotify too. You can find me.
Hey,
Nick West.
That's a great plug as well. Before we let you go, we do have to get your last-minute insight in how you're feeling against going up against Dan, 2-0 in the league. Are you feeling confident this Sunday, or are you going to check your lineup?
You know, I'll be honest. Dan has an incredible team. I don't know. You know, it's my team is okay. I just feel like he, you know, with him having RG3, you never know, and then Calvin Johnson and all these guys. I mean, we'll see. I'm not going to discredit, you know, count myself out, but I think I'll give him a good fight. I don't have myself winning.
Oh, you've picked against yourself in the pick'em.
Yes, I'll give it to Dan. Okay.
Okay. Well, I think that's mighty big of you.
It is the battle.
Gutless.
It is
that's
the battle.
Gutless.
It is, but it is the battle of the Dan Rosenbaum avatars because
your
avatars, yours with the soul patch, and then Dan's. These avatars are amazing.
Mine looks way more like Dan.
Oh, yeah, it's got the soul.
Totally much more like Dan.
It's got the puppy eyes.
I'll go on record from now on. Every matchup that I have, I'm going to change my avatar to look like whoever it is that I'm versing.
I like it.
So.
Sounds good. Well, Nick, I thank you for joining us tonight. It was really a pleasure to have you be our first guest. I think it's well-deserved that you are our inaugural guest. So thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Everyone, Nick West.
Miss you, Cousin Matt.
He looks great wet.
Yeah. Sexton, you suck.
So
next guest, Sexton, by the way.
Thank you once again to Nick. I think that was a fantastic first interview. Spencer, you asked a lot of piercing questions. Jeremy, not so much.
The man speaks the truth. Could be a rant for next week.
Hey, listen, I am a fan of the Extreme Blowjob. I'm a fan of the KJBJ. I'm going to give it to the Extreme Blowjob. You know, I was there when Nick got
you could have mentioned that in the interview, that you were actually there.
Yeah, that would have been good copy.
You know, it would have enhanced the interview a little bit.
It would have, but the image of Nick, who you guys all see, Nick, he's got legs. These legs over this tiny little girl's shoulders.
I have the mental image of you just like putting your ear up against the wall, trying to hear the extreme blowjob happen.
I have done that many times with Nick. I'll tell you guys a quick story real fast.
You just see people dodge right into the life.
Nick was in a doggy style.
All these cowboys, get away from me!
I ran to Adam's room. I pounded on his door, woke him up. Adam thought a thief was in the apartment. I said, you got to come here. Quickly brought Adam to the door. We listen. All of a sudden, we start hearing the
take four.
Constant pounding, and then Nick screams out, here you guys, and we run away. So, Nick, I've endured and loved
that's my
your,
best material. I got nothing.
That was, very mature.
Can't keep making me do this.
Anyway, so I think we are ready to briefly go over last week's results in the Fantasy League. There were, you know, it was – it was a good matchup for some. Other people kind of dropped the ball. I think obviously my rant kind of covered a little bit of River's Angry Juice versus Mother of Dragons.
Brian, should we stop ours too?
Yep. You didn't even crack 60. And sure, some of that is contributed to Aaron Rodgers having a really off game. But as
yeah. And Brian, I will say though, I think for this week it was kind of there was three matchups that I thought were great. Tough matchups against all the good teams, and then the other three matchups were kind of eh. So I mean, I think Yearning for Yucks versus Bane was probably for me the matchup.
Here's my view. I think in fantasy football there are games that you have where your decisions lose you the game, and there are games where your opposition just does something amazing and they've beaten you. Now, I think in my case, I think I made all the right tactical decisions in terms of who to play and who to sit. I just ran up against Reggie Bush and a boatload of points, and there was nothing I could do to stop that. Sure, Brady underperformed, and other members of my team didn't do great. Like Adrian Peterson had only a meh kind of game, but overall, I think Spencer won that game. I didn't really so much lose it. Agree or disagree?
I'll take it.
I agree.
That is not the case in my mind for Jeremy's game against Eric. I think Eric lost that game with some decisions that he made. And granted, he asked me advice. I told him I don't disagree
with the
decisions that he made. But he definitely made some what in hindsight turned out to be very questionable roster choices. You have poor Alshon Jeffery at 1.2 points, and kind of goes from there. Like when Darren Sproles is the guy who leads your team in points, and Matt Schaub has less points than Doug Martin, I think you're in for a very long day against Jeremy.
Yeah, but same time, Brian, for my team, my two starting running backs, neither guy played a full game. Matt Forte played a half, and Jamal Charles.
Yeah, but you got CJ Spiller
two and a half quarters.
You, 30 points.
Love you, Spiller. And to think I was going to keep James Starks as my keeper. But thank you guys for talking me out of that, Eric and Brian. I really appreciate that. But yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I think Brian undervalues my team very much, and Brian, I look forward to seeing you in a couple of days in our matchup.
I'm not the only person on this podcast that undervalues your team, and
I gave one of the best. I gave one of the highest grades.
No. I'm not talking about you, Spencer.
Who else is on the podcast?
Jeremy himself undervalues his own team. So when he has no confidence in his own team, like he. He ranked his team below me in the power rankings, and yet he maintains that like his team is vastly superior. So we'll see. But I don't think your team is as good as Spencer thinks your team is.
And I will just say one more thing about that matchup. We talked about it when the teams were set and the draft happened. I brought up about Eric's team quarterback play. He is undervaluing the importance of a top-tier fantasy quarterback, and that is the end result. He is going to be outscored every week, I expect. He'll have a couple weeks when he goes up against, maybe Jay Cutler or something, but you can't win when you have 6 points from Matt Schaub. You just can't win because he's expecting too much out of Julio Jones and the rest of the crew, and if they don't deliver, he's going to struggle. So it'll be interesting to see if he makes a move in free agency to upgrade his quarterback position or if he rides it out with Schaub for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. And since you guys are talking about the rankings, I'm going to move forward to what I think was the battle for the number one spot in the rankings was Wayne Corbett versus Intentional Pounding. Guys, I think as of right now, Gilman is the clear-cut top team
really
in our
Dan?
League. I mean, Brandon Marshall put up Brandon Marshall put up a stinker, and he still put up 110 points. I mean, Ray Rice and Frank Gore, and again, we always make fun of Frank Gore and undervalue him. When you watch those 49er games, the guy gets 25 carries
a game. I have no problem with Frank Gore. My
he
concern
gets touchdowns.
About Frank Gore as a pick was not that he's a great running back. It was his potential for injury. And I think as Frank Gore plays, he's a must-start. He's a great running back. but I just don't think he's going to get 16 games out of Frank Gore. That was my only critique.
And I think for Nick, you know, a couple of his players kind of came back to life. You know, DeMarco Murray, after an amazing first week, put up under 10 points. You know, there's a lot of question marks on Murray. People like him, but is he really going to get you double digits a week? And then classic Sean Green, Spencer, couple fumbles, 2 points,
concussion.
Points.
Yeah, concussion. They try to get him back on the field, though. Apparently, the rules don't apply to him. I think they're hoping he passes out for good. So.
That's true.
But yeah, you know, Mikey's team played well. You know, he's got a solid nucleus with his running back and receiving core. Ryan so far has been very solid. I kind of thought Stephen Hill was, you don't want to jump on the bandwagon too quickly, and of course he put up 0 points. So I mean, not a bad guy to have, but not a guy that I feel confident playing. I don't feel confident playing any New York Jet, and leave it to Mikey to have two New York Jets on his team. So
let's move on over though to Adam and Chris's game. Difference maker for that one was clearly Danny Amendola. I mean, putting up 33 and almost a half points
in the first half.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. And Chris actually had a really good game. Like, Chris would have beaten most of the people in the league had he played anybody but Adam. Cam Newton had a kind of comeback to life game where, you know, he's doing what he did last year. Can he keep that up consistently? Don't know. Aaron Foster did his thing. Yeah. But really the difference maker in that game clearly was Danny Amendola.
I think what's refreshing for Chris, though, is Cam Newton putting up 25 points. It looks like Cam is kind of getting
it
going.
We'll see if he can maintain that. And then, of course, there's Megan versus Derek. Megan had a all right game, obviously, Peyton Manning. It's going to, I think, be a game of musical chairs this season with her and quarterbacks. Spencer's right. She needs to pick a quarterback and run with it. But after putting up 7 points, I'm not sure I would have started Peyton Manning again, but who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, for me, guys, Megan, I kind of ranked her, you know, higher in the bottom of the pack. I think Megan's got a good team, so I've been very surprised that she has yet to crack 100 points. I mean, White, AJ Green, McFadden, MJD, Peyton Manning. I mean, she's got the players, so I think once her team kind of clicks, she will probably be one of the lower playoff seeds. I mean, she's not a great team, but I think she's got a better team than Adam. So, you know, not Adam, sorry, Derek.
Well, and
so
she gets to play Derek every Derek week. She's going to ride. She's going to run the table. She gets to play Derek's team every week too.
That is true.
Yeah, and Derek, he's a mess, and his team, unless he finds some way to pull out of this tailspin that he's in, I don't know if he's going to make the playoffs.
That was Katz's one of his highest grades too, for the record. So that's true.
And then last but not least is our good friend Keith, a friend of the show, and Dan's matchup. You know, honestly, Keith's team put up some points, 105. He just kind of ran. Yeah,
good showing.
Ran
showing
the buzzsaw that was Dan. He had, you know, just. Robert Griffin III is a beast, 31 points.
I have a question. How many points, we could probably find this out, but how many points do you think Eli Manning got him in the fourth quarter alone? I bet he went into the fourth quarter with like 10 points, and he put up 23 in that quarter.
Yeah, he had three interceptions going into the fourth quarter. So, I mean, Eli Manning, obviously, and then Hakeem Nicks. But what was funny about this matchup is Hakeem Nicks puts up 35 points. Well, Victor Cruz puts up 34.
Right.
It was just every time Keith had a good score, you know, Dan had an answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a showing for Keith that should give him some hope for
next year.
Hey guys, real quick, that's funny though, because yeah, Chris Johnson, 3.8 points. Steven Jackson, 5.8. Dan had an answer.
Anything you could do worse, I could do even worse. Even more.
But yeah, I mean, I think Keith is a situation where he could definitely have some hope from this game. You know, he would have beaten me if I played him. He would have beaten, you know, a lot of the people in the league. So yeah, I think he's not as bad as his 0-2 record would indicate. But I think that's the last team to recap, or last game to recap, unless I'm missing one like I missed last week. Am I?
No, you're good.
We got them all.
You're good.
Cool. Excellent. Well, I think unless there's anything else, we are done for the episode. Spencer, anything else to add?
I'm ready for football tomorrow. Actually, I'm ready for War Horse, the musical. So tell me how the game goes.
Well, that sounds spectacular. Jeremy?
For me, the big question is Hakeem Nicks already out. Will Keith Sexton update his roster before tomorrow at around 5 o'clock Western
time? If he listens to this podcast and does not want a scathing weekly rant in his direction like Nick and Derek got, then he's going to make the changes.
We'll find out.
On that note, once again, I want to thank Nick for being our inaugural guest. It was great to have him. But for Spencer Yasmin and Jeremy Katz, I am Brian Martinson. We will catch you next week.